Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone up into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, who created us, sustains us, and brings us to this wonder-filled night. Amen.
Amen.
The children had been rehearsing the play for weeks, seems like almost months. It was going to be the best Christmas pageant ever. When suddenly little Tommy came down with the flu, and they had to find someone else to play the innkeeper. And so they asked George if he'd be willing to do it. He was a little nervous, and he was practicing all week his line, "No, I'm sorry, there's no room. No, I'm sorry. No, no, I'm sorry, there's no room." The fateful night arrived, the curtain went up, the play went on, and it came time for George to respond to the wayward travelers who were seeking rooms at the inn. There was a pause when George looked up and went, "Sure, come on in." This is not a night for perfection. This is a night for anything but. But you know, we like perfection when it comes to Christmas. We like everything to be neat and tidy. We wrap our presents up with beautiful paper and bows. We make the absolute exquisite Christmas cookies where all the trees are nicely shaped and all the stars have perfect points. But that's really not the way it was then, was it? Mary, we find her in her blue robe looking ever so lovely into the eyes of her child. Joseph with the halo standing next to her. Both of them looked like they should be from Ohio. We hear a choir of angels in the background. Joy to the world. It's a nice picture. And I don't blame us for wanting it to be that way. I want it to be. That's what I want, is a perfect Christmas. Just like all those perfect memories I have of all those imperfect Christmases of past. It It wasn't like that. We've domesticated that picture almost beyond recognition. If you've worked on a farm, you know what a manger is like, right? I mean, you want to wear your boots if you've seen my manger. Right? And if you've ever seen a child born, let me tell you, after Preston arrived on the scene, I knew that Liz or Mary or any other woman was anything but meek and mild. Thank you all for doing that for us. But it wasn't like that, was it? No. Mary was probably a frightened teenager. Joseph probably realized he was way in over his head. And the shepherds? Well, the shepherds were the last person you want to have around. I mean, they hung out with the sheep. Get my drift? Right? They were slightly aromatic. They were on the bottom rung of the socioeconomic ladder. But you know, I have a feeling we like to have it perfect. Because let's face it, life is hard enough already. You know what I mean? Day to day, we struggle to keep pretty turbulent lives intact. Stem the tide of chaos that seems to almost overwhelm us, wave after wave after wave, as if it has become the new normal of our lives. Well, what's going to happen today, we wonder, almost afraid to turn on CNN or NPR or whatever venue you get, Fox News, with the sound turned down. Can't we at least come, couldn't resist, can't we at least come to church and have it perfect, have it just the way we always knew we wanted it to be? Why not a vision of what is good and pure and beautiful and lovely? But we put a lot of time and energy into building the perfect image, of controlling things as much as we possibly can, of our 21st century lives. And frankly, I don't know about you, but I am pretty much worn out by the efforts. And so we come to church wanting not just a respite from the frenetic pace of the outside world, but we want something warm, familiar, cozy, inspiring. And so we devour Luke's nativity scene, words we practically know by heart. We can say to one another, we've heard them since time immemorial, it seems. It's like a kind of spiritual comfort food, chicken soup, as it were, for our beleaguered souls. Except that's not Luke's nativity scene. Luke knows something about wanting to order chaotic lives. Look where he puts the scene. A census is being taken. Everyone is to go from the city to the city from which they were born. Caesars like that. They like things ordered, normal, predictable. And they knew how to enforce it. They knew how to make things predictable. The Pax Romana, as it were. Moreover, Luke sets the story among this type of ordering so that we understand the incredible paradox between what is happening and what is about to happen, what is about to take place. And so, in this breakwater town, this small little village called Bethlehem, where a scared young girl and her equally scared husband can't find any decent place from which they might be able to give birth to their first child, they're forced to take refuge with animals, with only dirty shepherds, and even their dirtier sheep to take notice. So I guess a question to ask is, why doesn't he tell it this way? What's the point? Why does God enter the world this way? It's an even better question on a night like this. Perhaps it is to tell us that God presents an indictment to the order, an accusation against things as they are. I think that playing this out the way Luke does, this redemptive story on the fringe of things, just where you would least expect God to be, there is where God is at. That's where God enters. God is telling us that the way things usually are just aren't good enough. That this is not all there is. It It's almost like God was whispering to us, telling us something deep down in our hearts that we already know, but we're afraid to admit, even to ourselves. The lives that we have so carefully created, the world that we work so hard to manage, are beautiful, precious, and wonderful, but they are also vulnerable, fragile, and ultimately insufficient. You see, God comes at the center of the world to straighten things out, but not just a bit. To be on the fringe, to call the orders and the structures of the day into question, and to herald a new beginning altogether. Ultimately, that's Luke's story, if we are willing to listen. That the witness to the simple yet scary fact that God comes with Jesus, the Word is made incarnate, to come not just to make life a little better or a little more bearable. God comes to turn everything over, to tip the tables, to create a whole new system for us, to resurrect and redeem us rather than mainly or merely rehabilitate us. It's scary because we've invested a lot in our lives, you and I. And it can be downright frightening to give up what we know. But at the same time, don't you think it's kind of thrilling to think about what could be, the world that can be created if we live into reality, that God's kingdom has come near to us, that the Word has been made flesh and dwelt among us. Man, that is radical stuff. So these things may be all good. This world we created, these lives we built for ourselves, and I love the life I live. I'm very, very thankful for it. But you see, we are told to help each other and to hope that despite the limitations we find ourselves in this world in which we are a part, wondrous though it may be, there is so much more that God has in store for us. And so God comes at the edges of the story and at the edges of our lives to speak quietly but firmly through the blood, sweat, tears, and labor pains of a young mother and a cry of her infant. That God is irreconcilably connected to us. That God loves us so much that God would come and be among us. Not just for this night. Not just for one Hallmark moment. Not just for 12 days of Christmas, as we were reminded yesterday. But beyond those days. For the day after that. For the third Tuesday in March. The seventh Wednesday of April, for Easter morning, for Good Friday, for July 4th, can't wait for it to arrive, fire up the grill. For August 27th, one of my favorite days, I don't particularly know why. But the point is, God is with us. God will not abandon us, and God desires so much more for each of us. So, in Christ we have the promise that God will not stop until each and all of us have been embraced, that we have been caught up in God's tremendous love, and will have heard the good news that unto you this day is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. No wonder we sing, let heaven and earth rejoice, not just this night, but always, world without end.